Neil Whiteside
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Lyrics.
brand new CD, brand new EP out from Red Velvet called Darkness and the Angels. That's the lead single off of it. It's called After the War. Les Ray is in the studio. Good afternoon, Les.
Hello, Neil. Lovely to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you as well. This Red Velvet project, it's moving along. I called you a duo. That's a lie.
Well, we were a duo, but we weren't really even a duo when we did Heartland Soul last year. That came out in March.
I'm just going to shut the window. They've started doing the angle grinding out.
Oh, dear.
There we go.
Dear.
Right. Yeah,
because we had, you know, we were seven members for Heartland Soul, but it was still essentially Deirdre and Les with some other musicians. Now we've got a five-piece band, and we're very much a band with everyone contributing to the ideas.
Okay.
And how, I was going to say, are the main writers.
And how has that worked out in practice? Because it's all very well, as you say, to call in other musicians when you need to make a sound. But how has it been for you? Because it's kind of, you're a singer-songwriter predominantly as you, isn't it? And now, then along's come Red Velvet, and now it's the Red Velvet Band.
Yeah, yeah.
How's that been as a journey for you?
It's been great. It's been great in that, you know, maybe in the past, maybe a few years ago, I'd write a song and I'd already have an idea in my head about what I wanted it to sound like. Mm. And then, you know, we'd assemble the musicians to create that sound that I had in my head.
Right.
Now, I take the bare bones of a song. Now, quite often, Deirdre's contributing some lyrics, as you'll hear in a minute, and hopefully the next one we'll get to play, where she wrote all the lyrics. But we take it to the band as just kind of a skeleton, if you like. And then through messing around with it, trying it in rehearsal, it develops into a full-blown song.
And you've found that that works, do you? That other musicians turn around and go, well, it was nice, Les, but try this. And you think, oh, wow.
Well, you've got to be all pulling in the same direction, which is, I think, why we're particularly blessed at the moment, because there are five of us and we share a vision, if you'd like. If you take that After the War, when I wrote it, it was, you know, the words I was very happy with, but it was just a folky song with some chords. Mm. And then as soon as we got the keyboard part, it sprang to life.
Linda Ness always used to say, it's the piano or the keyboards that makes the song. That was always her thing. I think she's right, because when I've heard your stuff before, and it's good, you hear that, you think, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
So it does, and have you found reception to it? I mean, you're only just starting to punt this around a little bit, are you? Is this a new sound, and how are you finding it going down with the traditional Red Velvet audiences?
Well, it's the reaction's been really positive. The truth is that when we released Heartland Soul, a couple of the members left immediately, so we had to draft in this band quite hurriedly. And so the songs that appear on that album, we did new versions of, really, with our new musicians. And so as a five-piece, we've been playing for a year or more now, and we were really keen to get something recorded to reflect what we actually sound like. And it's taken this long to actually rehearse the songs, get into the studio and get everything ready. But people have already heard us live, and they've heard quite a few of these songs live, not all together, but in bits and pieces all over the place. And the reaction's been great, yeah. People have said, you sound like a real band.
You do sound like a real band. It's an EP, though. It's five tracks. I'm guessing there's a heck of a back catalogue sitting there waiting to go on to other bits of CD. What made you choose these five tracks, and why isn't it a full-blown album, or what did you decide to do?
It's kind of the nature of the way I think the music scene works now, the music industry. People have got no attention span anymore. Mm. So if you record something and then you disappear for 2 years and come back with something new, in the meantime, you're virtually forgotten about, so you have to start from scratch. So you constantly got to be bringing new things. And an EP is a good format because it's a few songs. It's more than just a single, but not quite as much as a full-blown CD. So, that's kind of the format we're going to follow.
Okay. Well, it works for me as well, because, as you say, if you are evolving, it's all right, this is our sound. Mm. And then you can evolve, and it's like, you've heard those five songs, we're now onto these, this is what we're doing now. It's not like, well, we had a back catalogue of three albums, and now there's, I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, but there's the economics of it, you know. I mean, most people, particularly the younger people, tend to get their music from downloads, and they're interested in individual tracks. It doesn't really matter necessarily which album we come from.
No.
And so the actual physical object that you have in your hand is something that you sell at gigs. So if you've got an EP, then you can find a price that's a little bit more accessible.
That's also very true.
As well, affordable. Yeah. So it just works on various levels.
Now, we've talked about the fact that that Deirdre started to write some of the lyrics, and this is the truth behind a lot of your songs. None of your songs are just a quick chorus and verse type thing, are there? There's always a lot in your lyrics. How's that been for Deirdre? What's caused her to be part of it now? Has she finally got the confidence to pitch in against you, or how's that relationship worked? Well,
it's very much with rather than against, of course.
You know what I mean. Yeah, but as you say, in the past, you've been the singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
Someone else is going, oh, hang on a minute, I've got a line that I think's working better in here. Is that how it works?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the story is that I've been writing songs since, back in the 80s, but it wasn't really until Deirdre and I started making music together that that we started to perform them, because I tentatively said, well, this is something I've written. What do you think? That's really good. I'd love to sing that. And that gave me the confidence to kind of write more and kind of let her hear more that I'd written. So that's evolved over a few years. It's always been a question of Deirdre sings my songs that she can relate to.
Right.
So there's always been a real affinity, really, with my material. So I think it's a kind of a logical step. Plus, you know, the things that we've written on this album, we called it Darkness and the Angels, because it deals with some quite tough stuff, particularly Deirdre's cancer and her brother's cancer. And he sadly passed away back in 2013. Mm. Well, thankfully, she's in remission and has been since then. So that whole process was really, you can imagine, really, really
thankfully
tough.
Thankfully, I'm touching, I've little experience of it, but I can't, friends of mine are going through it at the moment, and I can't imagine what it must be like. It must be dreadful.
It's incredibly tough, and it's something that, you lives with you, even after you've supposedly recovered. And we've performed songs that relate to the idea and the subject matter, but it was really needed Deirdre to write something about her personal experience, and I couldn't write
it. Very brave. Well, because it must be very soul searching. It must bring back a whole flood of emotions.
Yeah, and it's for the first time that the song itself is called Ride of Darkness, and the first couple of times she performed it was really hard. You know, she was kind of fighting back the tears.
Mm. But hey,
it's therapeutic,
cathartic, and therapeutic. Music does a wonderful thing. Mm. All right, so the album's out on the 23rd, but you've got a gig ahead of then.
We have, yes. We're at one of our favourite venues, which is the Elm Tree Pub in town, not far from here. And we're performing there on the 17th, week on Sunday. And we'll be playing the tracks from the EP plus some old favourites.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, that'll be the first chance for people to hear the whole thing. We're going to play another track, though, as well. And I mean, I love it when people come in, because I say, go on in, give me a couple of tracks to play. Mm. So are these the first one we had there, which was After the War, this next one, Ride of Darkness, are these your favourites, or are you not allowed to have favourites?
they tend to be your babies, don't you? So you can't really differentiate between them. But, I mean, my favourites come and go, but in this particular moment, they are my two favourites, without a doubt. And Ride of Darkness has been received really well because, as I said, it's a tough subject, but the musical treatment gives it a certain lightness, which helps, if you like.
As hopes and fears turn to ashes. wishes with little but anguish in sight. And finally, those days did reach us with vengeance and cruelty. Your last days were few as I stayed close to you, and they ended so painfully. The light, it comes through in flashes, but the darkness is hardest to fight. As hopes and fears turn to ashes, with little but anguish in sight.
Ride of Darkness. From the new EP, Darkness and the Angels by Red Velvet. Like that.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. It's very different.
We're very proud of it.
It is. And if you'd like to hear some more of these tracks, the Elm Tree on Sunday the 17th of February, so that's Sunday week, and it starts at 8:30. That's on Orchard Street, of course. And what's the lineup for Strummers and Dreamers, Les? What's coming up there?
Well, I've got a young local singer-songwriter on the next live show, which is a week on Monday, Josh Robbins,
mm-hmm.
who plays the local scene a little bit, playing in open mics and things. And I think he's apart from, and he also busks in Cambridge Town Centre, so you might have seen him there. He's got a great voice and kind of a great personality, but he also writes terrific songs, I think.
Okay.
So I think he's definitely going places.
Excellent.
Strangely enough, the last show, my guest wasn't able to show up because he was called away because of a family illness. And so I had a kind of back burner plan, which was singer-songwriters from 1971.
Oh, my goodness.
Hell of a year.
Was it a year, was it?
It was a hell of a year. Well, it was the year when Tapestry by Carole King, Blue by Joni Mitchell came out, American Pie, Don McLean, Graham Nash, James Taylor, a bunch of others.
My goodness.
All 1971. So I devoted an entire hour to the music of 1971, something I've never done before, but that got some great reactions.
So you could do that again, yeah.
I might revisit that idea with another well-chosen year.
Excellent. So that's Strummers and Dreamers with Les Ray, not this coming Monday week.
That's right.
Super. Lovely to see you this afternoon, Les. Take the rest of the afternoon off, won't you? You got a busy afternoon planned?
I'm going to go back and do some work.
Oh, I'll let you do that.
Music, sadly, doesn't pay the bills. Not always.
Well, no. Don't forget, then, that's Sunday the 17th of February at the Elm Tree if you want to see Les play live. Cheers, Les. Take care.